This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the perfect human being. And part of being a human being is that you have emotions. And the more emotions you have, the more of a human being you are. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not someone who was emotionless. Rather, he used to be happy and sad, pleased and angry, and he used to grieve and feel sorrow, as we all do. Unlike what some of us may think, that, "Akhi, how can you grieve? How can you cry? How can you not trust Allah Azza wa Jal?" Subhanallah. As if feeling sorry over something defies your trust and dependence on Allah. This is not true. These are human emotions that as humans we have to go through. But when we are in paradise, all of these negative feelings will disappear by default. Allah says about the people of paradise, and they will say, "Praise be to Allah, who has removed from us all sorrow. Indeed, our Lord is forgiving and appreciative." And if you look at the main cause of grief and sorrow in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you will find it towards Allah Azza wa Jal. In the sense that whatever is not positive at the sight of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feel sorry for that. Above all, when he gives da'wah, when he calls people to Islam, and they are defiant, they resist and reject his efforts to get them out of darkness into the light, we usually could care less. I give da'wah to someone, he doesn't respond. He insists on being an atheist or agnostic or a Christian. I did my due diligence, I move on. I have no problem, no worries. Not our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this shows you that our da'wah is not sincere and perfect as his. This is why we're failing in getting the same results as he did alayhi salatu wasalam. Listen to what Allah had mentioned in many, many verses of the Quran. Allah says, "We know that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, are saddened by what they say. And indeed, they do not call you untruthful, but it is the verses of Allah that the wrongdoers reject." So he's saddened by their rejection. Allah also says, "Then perhaps you would kill yourself through grief over them, O Muhammad, if they do not believe in this message and out of sorrow," which Allah Azza wa Jal is telling his Prophet, take it easy on yourself. Don't be depressed. Don't grieve so much over them so that it may kill you. And this is an indication that grief and sorrow may cause a person to die. And we see this. Anxiety, panic attacks, people who grieve over something and they get a heart attack and they die. Allah says to his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, "And whoever has disbelieved, let not his disbelief grieve you." Because you've done your due diligence. You've done all what is in your effort to get them out of the darkness to the light. They don't want to. So it shows you how much love the Prophet ﷺ had for people, that he wanted them to share the goodness that Allah has given him. And finally, the Prophet was addressed by Allah in this beautiful ayah, so do not let yourself perish over them in regret. Take it easy on yourself, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It shows you the huge responsibility that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam had on his shoulders, to the extent that it could have killed him out of grief and sadness and sorrow that they did not accept Islam. Imagine a battle which took place on the third year of Hijrah between the Muslims and the idol worshippers. The idol worshippers were 3 or 4 times the size of the Muslim army. And 1/3 of the Muslim army defected, led by the head of the hypocrites. And they left the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on his own. In this battle, 70 of the Prophet's alayhi salatu wasalam companions were martyred. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was injured and was bleeding. So one would suspect that this was the most horrific day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ever witnessed. This is what Mother Aisha asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Was there any day harder on you than the day of Uhud? The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, yes. I encountered a day where I suffered a lot. When at the end of my period in Mecca, your people had harassed me to the extent I had to flee Mecca and walk all the way to Taif, which is approximately an hour drive on top of a mountain. It's a resort for the people of Mecca and the people of Jeddah like us. In summer, we go there because the weather is finer and colder. So the Prophet walked all the way, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he displayed himself to Ibn Abdi Alil, Ibn Abdi Kulal, and they were the dignitaries of Taif, of Thaqif. He displayed himself in the sense that he made his pitch. This is who I am. I am the messenger of Allah. Listen to the Quran. Listen to my presentation. And when they did not accept him, not only that, they accused him of lying. Not only that, they ordered their slaves and young boys to stone the Prophet ﷺ with pebbles that made his feet bleed. He said, I went down the mountain and I was absent-minded. I could not recollect anything. I was so depressed and sad because of the way they had treated me. I came back to my conscience and I was awakened at Qarn al-Tha'alib. Imagine walking down for 3-4 hours, not remembering anything, totally blinded because of this grief. And Jibreel came to me and said to me, O Muhammad, this is the angel of the mountains, first time to descend by the instruction of Allah. And the angel of the mountains said to him, O Muhammad, Allah Azza wa Jal had heard what your people said to you and had done to you. And I am the angel of the mountains, so I'm at your command. If you wish, I could collapse the 2 big mountains on their heads and annihilate them all. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this crucial moment, in the midst of this depression and grief and sorrow over how they treated him, said, no, Do not do that. I am hopeful and wishful that Allah Azza wa Jal would extract from their offspring children and men who would testify that there is no God worthy of being worshipped other than Him. Look at this optimism. Look at this positivity, even in the darkest moments of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. His grief would not make him do irrational decisions or take irrational decisions. He always thought of the welfare and the goodness of his people. He wanted goodness for all of humanity. Yet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would still have this human emotion of sorrow and grief. Imagine his beloved uncle, Abu Talib, who took care of him for over 40 years, shielded him, protected him, gave him a safe haven, and prevented the idol worshippers from attacking him. The Prophet relentlessly, alayhi salatu wasalam, tried his level best that he accepts Islam, but it was Allah's will. When he died, he was grieved by it. Allah the Almighty comforted him by saying, "Indeed, O Muhammad, you do not guide whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills." Full stop. End of sorrow and grief. Yes, I love my uncle, but if this is the will of Allah, there's nothing I could do. And this is an ayah we should all ponder upon. You watching me, you're Muslim with the grace of Allah. The majority of you are Muslims by birth, and there are those whom Allah guided them to revert to Islam. You are the chosen one. Allah has given you this beautiful religion on a plate of gold or silver. You should be grateful and show your gratitude and remain steadfast on Islam when you look at those whom Allah did not will to guide. The poor atheists, agnostics, Jews and Christians, idol worshippers, Hindus, Sikh, and the likes, the Buddhists. Allah did not will to guide them, and they will end up in hellfire. They chose. They had everything in front of them. They had the evidences to prove to them that Islam is the religion of Allah. They turned their back. They shrugged their shoulders, said, "Not interested, not convinced." And they will pay dearly with depression in this life and with hellfire on the hereafter. As for you, what did you do to show your gratitude to Allah? Have you prayed Fajr this morning in the masjid? Are you observing your fast as Allah wanted you to? Are you giving in charity? Are you reciting the Quran? Are you doing your adhkar? Are you committed to Islam as Allah wants you to? If yes, then this is the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grieved over the betrayals of the disbelievers, the idol worshippers. Anas ibn Malik says that the tribes of Ra'l, Dhakwan, and Usayyah, they're all from Bani Lihyan, from Hudayl. They asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to send a convoy with them to teach them about Islam. So the Prophet sent 70 of the Ansar, and they were known to be the Qurra, the reciters of the Quran. And they used to recite the Quran, and at night they used to study it and pray night prayer and learn. And daytime they used to bring water and put it in the masjid and chop for firewood and sell it and buy food and give it to the poor. So they were active in their community. So the Prophet sent them, alayhi salam, to these people in the middle of Arabia. Haram ibn Milhan, may Allah be pleased with him, was the uncle, the maternal uncle of Anas ibn Malik. And they were all killed and assassinated in an act of betrayal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not seen grieving in sorrow over an expedition more than he grieved for them, to the extent that he kept making dua in qunut, in the five daily prayers, for a whole month against these tribes. But after 1 month, the command came from Allah Azza wa Jal to refrain. This is not to you. Leave it as it is. He grieved over the martyrdom of three of his beloved companions in the Battle of Mu'tah, where 3,000 Muslims went to fight over 100,000 troops of the Byzantians. 3,000 against 100,000. And some say more than that. So the three leaders of the army in succession were martyred. Zayd ibn Haritha, the son of the Prophet ﷺ in adoption before it was abolished, he was martyred. Then his cousin, appointed after him to be the leader if anything would happen to Zayd, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he's the Prophet's cousin and the brother of Ali. And he was martyred after two of his arms were amputated during battle. And this is why he's seen in paradise having two wings, flying wherever he wants as a martyr. After that, the third in concession was Abdullah ibn Rawaha, the poet of the Prophet ﷺ. They were all martyred. And the companions felt that they will be defeated until Khalid ibn al-Walid, may Allah be pleased with him, took the flag, led the army, and managed to retreat by defeating the army of the enemy, thinking that they had reinforcement. The Prophet was with his companions when all of a sudden his face changed. And Mother Aisha said, I could see from the crack of the door when the Prophet was with his companions, signs of grief and sorrow over his face, over the demise of his three beloved companions. And this hadith shows that showing and expressing your grief, if a calamity befalls upon you, does not take you out of those who trust and rely on Allah, as long as there's content in your heart. And finally, the Prophet also grieved immensely when his uncle, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, the master and leader of martyrs, was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. When the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Uhud passed by women from the tribe of Bani Abdul Ashhal, weeping and mourning their martyrs in Uhud, the Prophet looked at them with sorrow and said, Hamza has no one to weep over him. Meaning these women are weeping their dead, but my uncle Hamza has no one to weep over him. So the women of the Ansar heard this and they started weeping over Hamza as a sign of condolence, as a sign of sharing the grief with the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet learned about this, he told them, stop and refrain. It is not permissible to mourn and wail. Rather, it is not permissible to wail and weep with a sound over someone who has died after today. There are many incidents where the Prophet ﷺ expressed his grief and sorrow. If we know that 7 of his own offspring, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, 3 of his sons and 3 of his daughters died in his lifetime. And the 7th daughter, Fatima, he gave her the glad tiding on his deathbed that she will catch up with him after 6 months. What kind of grief you could imagine be in this huge, big heart of someone like the Prophet ﷺ, with all these calamities, with all these problems around him and the challenges. If any one of us would have had 1% of what he had suffered, wallahi, we would have died years and years ago. But not the Prophet ﷺ, who was content with Allah's decree and who only relied, trusted, and depended upon Allah alone.